It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to Spin Rate, the Athletics Toronto Blue Jays podcast. My name is Drew Fairservice, and yes, we are here talking about your Toronto Blue Jays as we do every week, twice a week, for the Athletics. So off the top, of course, I'm going to remind you to subscribe to the show wherever you get your podcasts. I'm going to remind you to subscribe to The Athletic wherever you get your websites. Most specifically, go to theathletic.com/spinrate. Subscribe. That way you can read everything everybody writes about baseball, but namely you can read what the co-host of Spin Rate covers the Blue Jays for The Athletic, Caitlin McGrath, writes. Caitlin, good afternoon. How are you?
Good afternoon. How are you? I'm good. Second time seeing you this week, so that means it's been a good week.
That is right. It is the second time. Usually, as I mentioned, we do two episodes a week, usually one with Caitlin and one with former Blue Jays All-Star Ricky Romero. Ricky is in Toronto doing some stuff, so we had him earlier in the week. Now we got Keegan. And then, we have Caitlin. Well, and of course, we do, in fact. It was not just a Freudian slip. We are blessed to be joined today. Covers of Blue Jays for MLB.com, Keegan Matheson. Keegan, how are you?
I'm wonderful. Happy to be here. Thank you for having me.
He is wonderful. He seems happy to be here, fresh off of an airplane from beautiful downtown Kansas City, Missouri. We had been talking about doing this, talking teens, talking Blue Jays, and what the future of this club looks like, as well as the present, before Keegan comes through with the big news break this week that Gabriel Moreno has joined the Toronto Blue Jays in Detroit in the big leagues. How good is that? So that's good for him, good for us, good for everybody. A little bit of serendipity here. But let's start right there. Gabriel Moreno, whose name I may or may not be pronouncing correctly, joining the Blue Jays in the big leagues with Danny Jansen's injury. This is an exciting time to be a Blue Jays fan, a good team looking to get better. Do we think, the question is, is he going to make the Blue Jays better by playing often enough or playing at all? The Blue Jays catching situation is enviable as it stands. So, but they are definitely looking to get Moreno up to the big leagues. Do you think, Keegan, that we're going to see him quite a bit in the next coming weeks?
Yeah, you have to see him a bit. It's a bit of a high bar with Alejandro Kirk. Depending on what Danny Jansen does coming back from his hand injury, that's a metacarpal break, which I've learned is below the finger on the hand, which is very exciting. But at this point, he's being called up to be part of the solution. You know, if this was a crappy team, sure, you bring him up. You don't care if he hits 150, whatever. But Moreno is being called up to be part of winning and part of what they're trying to do. So I think he'll have his opportunities. It can go one of two ways. Either he sticks and there's a catcher log jam and everybody's happy with a good problem. Or number two, maybe he gets his feet wet and is humbled a bit. Maybe Danny Jansen comes back and Moreno dips back down for a while. We'll see. As a catcher, it can be difficult. You know, we've seen that with Joey Bart recently in San Francisco, another former top prospect who was up and then bounced back down. But Moreno is ready and has earned it. You know, hitting .324 in AAA, that's good enough. It'll work. And I think he'll have legitimate opportunities. I'd assume at first they would line him up with a starter, or maybe two starters. I don't know who that would be. Probably not Kikuchi, just for his own sanity at this point. But whether it's Gausman or maybe Manoa is a good one to line him up with. But getting him one or two games out of that rotation each time through and see where it goes. But he has to be part of winning right away. There's still development to happen, of course, just like Alejandro Kirk. But it's not entirely dissimilar to Kirk when he came up in 2020. You know, he's part of the answer way earlier than a lot of people thought, but has to be.
Okay, I'm going to jump in, Drew. I've been thinking about this morning because obviously there's a few things that I've been thinking about. One is that this is a completely different like vibe or call up than it was when you had Vlad calling up. I mean, Vlad was like his own category altogether. Like, there's not many guys that had the hype that he had. It's not going to be that. And it's a different vibe from like Bo as well, because again, like different kind of prospects. But also the situation with the team was like, as Keegan said, like that was a crappy team. It didn't really matter. Like they were going to get called up and they were going to stick around. And this is like, they're just their time to be in the majors. And team results didn't matter necessarily. They didn't have to be really part of like a solution or anything. They were just looking ahead to the future. But, you know, also knowing that like the Blue Jays are pretty like systematic and like thoughtful when they call a guy up, and like maybe Moreno isn't exactly like Vlad tier prospect, cause as I say, like that's his own category. But I feel like the Jays don't call up prospects a lot just to send them down again. So I'm actually really curious to think, like, to see what his opportunity is going to be like, to the point where I almost lean like, unless he's completely, totally overmatched and like, it's not a good scene, like, I think they'll give him a long runway, and to the point where like, I think when Danny Jansen comes back, they might just go with three catchers, because I'm trying to like do the sort of like roster moves in my head, you know, like the whiteboard and all the strings and trying to put it all together. And it's like, at that point, maybe they have to reduce down to 13 pitchers anyway, because MLB keeps claiming that that's going to be a rule that's going to happen, even though it hasn't been enforced yet. But in theory, by the end of June, you're going to have a pitching staff of 13s, in which case the Blue Jays are going to need to use that roster spot on a position player versus a pitcher. So then you're looking for a guy to fill that extra roster spot. Now, like, the question is, would you rather have a guy on the end of your bench that you don't care if he's sitting there all the time, or you just want a really talented guy like Moreno? And I think they would lean towards that. So like, unless he's completely overmatched, I don't really see a scenario where the Blue Jays were like sending him down and bringing up like Vinny Capra, no offense to Vinny Capra, but like, because they just want another guy on their bench because they don't want to have three catchers. It's like, I mean, maybe That's kind of what I've been thinking. Like, so I don't know. I don't know that the Blue Jays would have made this decision just to have Moreno up for 2 weeks. Like, I think he's here for the long haul, and he's only going down if things go really awry, because I think to send, unless they've told him like this is a short stint. But again, like, I don't get the sense of why they would do that. I feel like if he's here, he's here.
I think that the situation, I agree with where Keegan came from this, in that this is a win now team. And we've talked about this, and you see some folks chatting about like, oh, this is like they're going to trade Kirk, or they want to trade, you know, they could trade Jansen. And my point is that there's no way they're going to trade from this, a position of strength in a year, in a time when they're trying to win, right? Like the opportunity to bolster right field should not and will not come at the expense of the catching position, because they are in such a position of strength there. So I think that again, this is going to be a time where performance dictates what happens next, because they are trying to win. And if Zach Collins feel like in 2 or 3 weeks that we're a better team with Zach Collins kind of catching a couple days a week and coming and DHing and hitting left-handed, well, then we're all doomed. Then that is truly a dire, dire state of affairs. But truth be told, yeah, I think so from that perspective, my view is I won't view a demotion down the road. If Mourinho is sent back to AAA, I'm not going to view it as like a failure or a statement of failure, as much as like the team is in win now mode, and there isn't that much runway to kind of get him up to speed in the big leagues right now, because they're trying to win. Am I crazy, Keegan? Am I out to lunch?
No, it's such a unique position too. On most rosters in Major League Baseball, the backup is a glove first-ish guy with a 500 OPS who you don't care about, frankly. Catching across Major League Baseball is not deep enough right now. There's not really enough talent on rosters. I always compare it to quarterbacks in the NFL. There's just really not enough. And this is the equivalent of the Blue Jays having three franchise quarterbacks, really, at this point. And it's tough. You know, you could roll out three catchers. You could use the DH spot, but Kirk has looked good catching. Jansen, of course, can do it all. And Moreno, you want there. So it's a decision between whether you can continue developing him in the major leagues. And a lot of that can take place outside of games. Is it more beneficial for him to be facing Gerrit Cole than facing, know, your classic AAA slop lefty who's going to throw him a bunch of curveballs that he's probably not going to see in the major leagues. A lot of this is about trusting the person, too. If a team is calling up a prospect who they think is good but know is an idiot, it's harder to trust that guy. But I think everything that we hear about Moreno is extremely positive in that sense. In terms of character, personality, everything there. And I think that is more important in this situation than in most catching situations, because he's dealing with two catchers who are playing like all-stars this year and dealing with a situation where there could be three of them at one time. So coming in as a top prospect, I think that's another level of rarity here. This is a team with World Series aspirations who's graduating the number four prospect in all of baseball. It's not supposed to happen like that. It's supposed to be the Orioles and Adley Rutschman. That's how baseball works. You know, a bad team gets the top prospect up. That's who the Jays were in 2019. And it's a much different world, but very unique what he's walking into. So I think this is about the person quite a bit as well. But, you know, given that everything you hear about Moreno is very positive in that sense, you know, why not? You know, there's room. And I agree with you, Drew, what you said, too. It's generally speaking, we've all played too many video games, too much fantasy baseball crap. And, you know, you have two good guys at one position, trade one to get a perfect guy at another position. It's never that easy. And frankly, the boring answer is that it works itself out 9 times out of 10. Someone else will get hurt. Someone will go cold. Just like this worked itself out here. You know, you don't want to see Jansen go down, but the answer was always going to be something boring like this. It was never going to be Moreno going on a super streak and forcing a trade or something. It's always a guy pulling a hamstring and opening a door. And it's how it tends to work, which is not the most glowing narrative, but here we are.
But Caitlin, I'll let you jump in a second. The one thing I'm thinking about is, you know, which is, you said this is the Orioles bringing, you know, giving Adley Rutschman the softest landing possible on a terrible team. The Blue Jays did something similar. This is a lot more like what you see the team, the Blue Jays, want to emulate and should want to emulate the most. And that this is what the Dodgers do. The Dodgers bring Will Smith up and they're like, here's your job. We're trying to win baseball games because we're the Dodgers and we win the division every year now. So I think that's a better frame, other than the fact that like the Dodgers guys, they manufacture these guys out of thin fucking air and they just like bring these guys up and they're just spraying line drives out of nowhere. His name is Will Smith. He couldn't be any more like nondescript. And it's like, oh no, he's one of the three best catchers in all of the big leagues. We'll be right back with more Spin Rate. But first, check this out.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
If I'm a Blue Jays fan and I'm not, you know, attuned to the minor leagues and I haven't been monitoring the progress of Gabby Moreno, what can you tell us about him as a player? What's sort of his profile? You know, what's his calling card and what can we expect to see of him when he's doing the things that we would expect him to do at the big league level?
Yeah, well, if you are a Jays fan who's not following the minor leagues on top of nightly baseball, it's congratulations on your mental health. That's probably going in the positive direction. Moreno is a very modern catcher. I hate player comparables, but it's that, you know, this is not your classic big guy behind the plate catcher. You know, extremely athletic, was an infielder when he was signed out of Venezuela by the Blue Jays, and you can still see that. You know, kind of, he's thrown out 54% of his runners this year down in AAA. Very natural, and natural is a vague and stupid word, but what I mean by that is kind of how we talk about Bo Bichette, where he can make weird throws from weird angles because he's gifted with athleticism. And you see Gabriel Moreno doing that both at the plate, but certainly defensively, which has allowed him to develop very quickly despite not growing up as a catcher. Now, he's not going to be a 30 homer guy, probably, which we'll go back and clip this out when he is someday so I can look smart. But he is, you know, maybe he'll be that 15-20 guy, line drives, whatever it is. But high average, like he has in AAA, 324, high on base percentage, and everything about him, you know, going into more comps, it's a little bit of the Alejandro Kirk approach, you know, not as you know, advanced and mature and calm as Kirk, because few people are, but in a way that should allow him to go well into the majors. For example, if you put Aurelvis Martinez in the majors right now, he'd probably hit a couple of cool home runs, but he would strike out a billion times yeah. and you would forget the home runs. Whereas Moreno will have the ability to come in and look normal. And that sounds surface level, but I think it's a real compliment to him and his maturity. So definitely a modern catcher for the modern game. You know, you've seen the catching position change. I think in Toronto that started with Russell Martin, you know, a guy who was a very modern catcher and kind of ahead of his time stylistically as a catcher, a guy who was athletic and could play different positions. You know, with Moreno, will he have the odd game at third base down the road? We'll see. But really an all-around talent, I think. And that's what's so rare and frankly silly at this point, that the Blue Jays have three catchers who are all-around guys. You know, it's not like they have a bat guy and a glove guy and a middle-of-the-road something. They're all-around catchers. And it's a real embarrassment of riches. But after, God, how many years has it been since maybe going all the way back to Pat Borders? Although the catchers of the future that have gone through, it was Aaron Sebia for a while. There was drafting Max Pentecost back in 2011, 12 when that was. Guillermo Quiroz back in the day. There's a lot of names that were supposed to be the guy. Karma coming about.
Yeah, it's weird. And you, the more you are talking, the more I keep thinking back to a guy like Will Smith. And I was even thinking about, there was some talk about Dalton Varsho, who's the catcher for Arizona, who plays
many people center say field. That the more I talk, the more they think of Will Smith.
Yeah, you know, never have I felt more liable to get jiggy with it, nor or maybe slap someone. But Dalton Varsho plays center field and catcher, right? And that's really a rare thing as well. And I think that, and it's got me thinking, you know, aside from the kind of modern, you know, they put these really athletic athletes back there. We should consider catchers like a guy that can play center field and catch is more similar to Shohei Ohtani than a multi-positional infielder, if you ask me, who is looking to make the position of catcher seem that much more significant as someone who's in his 40s and catches men's league and needs to feel like I climb a mountain every day. But
also, you just like to shoehorn Shohei Ohtani into every conversation.
All the pieces fit, right? This is like the quintessential episode of Spin Rate at this point. But
exactly.
So, Caitlin, you know, your thoughts are, you think he's up to stay and you think that the Blue Jays are still the Blue Jays no matter the situation here in 2022, where they have a really uniquely talented player who they, you know, their temperature check on him suggests like he's going to be able to hear it and compete compete and to stay.
Well, I mean, I will admit I'm wrong if he gets sent down after 2 weeks, and I am open to both scenarios. I can see a scenario where they decide that it is better for him to play every day and to get more reps in AAA rather than play every other day or DH a lot. Like, I can understand that scenario. I guess I'm just thinking of the mind, and maybe it's just because I'm thinking of prior top prospects coming up and just being around. But I think the Blue Jays don't like to do a ton of yo-yoing with a top prospect, right? And I think that a lot of times they talk about when you get to the major leagues, like the development doesn't stop. And in fact, it has to occur. It can only occur in the major leagues. Like Vlad had to learn how to fail to some extent in the major leagues to become the player that he was last year. Like he had, because he had conquered AAA, like it wouldn't have served him much purpose to go up and down in AAA. Like he didn't need to clear his mind necessarily. He just had to learn like the routines, what you need to do to be a major leaguer and all this kind of stuff. And a lot more goes into that catching side as well. And I think like maybe Keegan alluded to this too, is like, I think actually being around like Kirk and Danny Jansen is probably the next step of development for Moreno. Like, I think that he'll learn a lot from just being around them. And so I think, yeah, there could be a roster crunch, and I think there's a scenario where maybe he does get sent down. But I think, like, there's also a scenario where it maybe is just best to have him around and have him continue to develop. And kind of what you said, Drew, in the sense that, like, at least he's coming up and he doesn't have to be the guy that carries his lineup. He's not the franchise savior. Like, there's a lot of guys. This is a star-studded lineup. You have Ladd, George Springer, Bo Bichette up and down the lineup, and Alejandro Kirk, who's apparently like an all-star now. You know, like, you have a ton of guys that have been, and they're hitting really well right now too. And so he can just come in and do his own thing. Like, he doesn't have to carry the lineup. I'm sure he'll hit pretty low in the lineup. There's not going to be as much pressure there for him. And sometimes that can help. Like, you know, he doesn't need to be anything more than he is. Like Keegan said, he knows how to put the bat on the ball. That's what he's done at every single level. And he's obviously proven he can do it at AAA. And so if he can continue to just do that, you know, I think he has a really good chance to be an impact player and make this team better right away.
That's a great way to think about it. And it's a great kind of position for the Blue Jays to be in, where they can do that again. And I watched the Blue Jays play the Royals, who the Blue Jays had lost to in the 2015 ALCS, as we all know. And the Royals have not had a winning season since. Now, I'm sure a lot of Blue Jays fans would trade the World Series for, you know, another 7 years of mediocrity to worse. But I think that this the ascent of Mourinho, and I think some of the things you read about him, about how he had to miss these years as a younger person because of the situations, you know, in Venezuela where he wasn't able to play, like that they're able to marry the right people with the right attitudes and the right approach. It seems like a pretty good indication of like the things that this team does, or this organization does well. And Kirk, again, like, if ever there was a diamond in the rough, it's him, right? So, but let's move on a little bit from Gabby Mourinho and think, Keegan, about and Caitlin, you wrote about this recently as well too, about the down on the farm sort of look. So if Mourinho graduates, is there somebody else that we can maybe expect to see at all here in 22 as like a not impact player, but somebody who could make a difference coming up from the minor leagues to the big leagues? Or are we going to see some real distance between guys that they have in the system and guys who can make an impact at the big league level?
Yeah, I feel like it was kind of Mourinho heavy. You know, so much of the pitching is far off at this point. A lot of their top pitching prospects are in that younger kind of 19, 20 range, or even more 18 years old. A lot of the young arms they have coming up. But I think if you go through some of the positional talent, Aurelvis Martinez, it's not entirely out of the question. Jordan Groshen's not entirely out of the question, but it's a matter of position and in both cases, whether the performance is there. You know, they would really have to be kicking the door down. Those are options. You know, those guys will be the number one and number two once Mourinho graduates. But beyond that, I think in the top 10, Otto Lopez would have been an option. He very briefly for like 2 minutes made a debut last year, but he has not been good this year, which is unfortunate because he can play 20 different positions. He would be a really natural fit on this roster. But looking down, I think you're hitting a point right now where, compared relatively to maybe 2 years ago, 2 years ago, there's a bit of an age gap now. I think there'll be another wave coming in a year, year and a half, 2 years. But frankly, that's okay. You know, this is not a team that needs a lot of prospect influx. Frankly, Mourinho is a luxury. It's Mourinho is buying a third car. He's buying a second cottage. It's great, but you know, not that you don't need him. You know, the Blue Jays will take it and they need it, but it's not something that they were begging and waiting on to save the team. So I think there's a bit of a gap, pitching especially. You know, lower down, there could be some relief options coming, like Adrian Hernandez from AAA, for example. But a lot of younger guys now, very encouraging young talent, very, very good talent that I think the Blue Jays are doing a good job with, but a bit of a gap.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, the only scenario that would prompt another sort of like major debut would be like some sort of significant injury. Because also at this point, you're talking about adding a guy to the 40-man roster, because at least Mourinho was already on the 40-man. So the that's basically the first step to knowing you're going to get called up, is that when you get put on the 40-man. And so you kind of knew that was coming. But like a guy like Jordan Groshans, like, he's not on the 40-man yet. So to get him to the majors, you would sort of need a sort of significant hole. And then you're bringing him up and you're putting him on the 40-man and like starting that clock. But I was going to say, like, Adrian Hernandez is a guy like maybe you give him a cup of coffee at the end of the year, especially if the Blue Jays are kind of cruising at the end. They need a relief arm. You want to see what he can do. I'm not sure what his like Rule 5 eligibility is coming up, but if he needs to get on the 40-man roster relatively soon anyway, then it could be a thing. And I've heard a lot about his changeup, and you sort of wonder, like, a reliever with a best pitch that's a changeup, but they've seen it play at every single level. And so I think the only question is it going to play at the major league? So he's a kind of a name that I'd be like, oh, okay, like that'd be cool to see at the end of the year. But I think it's more so a scenario of like giving him a chance at the end of the year, because if they're asking him to be their bullpen savior, they're probably not in a good place.
I think the third time's the charm, right? You've got a third changeup heavy guy to the bullpen. This time it'll work and work consistently. But I think that Hernandez is a good example, right? Like that's a good guy who isn't necessarily the top prospect. Like we've talked about, he's not a Aroldis Martinez who has the ceiling of like a 40 or 50, you know, FVP guy. But he's a guy that could make a difference. He's a guy that could have and find a role. I mean, you know, the history is lousy with relievers who sort of came out of nowhere to take a big step forward in September and become in October and become like a big piece of a team's present and its future. The pitching, as we talked about, Ricky Tiedemann and I'm not going to pronounce his name right. Yosef Zuleta? And that's not close, is it?
Zulu. They call him.
Yosef Zuleta.
Yosef Zuleta. Oh, that's good. Okay.
A lot of people call him Zulu. You can just shorten it.
I would like to try to get his name right, even once, just for me and for him. But again, that's sort of like, you know, the Blue Jays in a lot of ways have avoided the kind of having big gaps in like the next wave, but they're in a situation now where all the food is on the table, so to speak. But I don't think we would ever preclude the Blue Jays from making a move in July. Do you think, I don't know, Keegan or Caitlin, do you think that's a likelihood at this point? Are they likely to be a team going to make making a significant move, do you think, at the trade deadline, or is it maybe adding in and around the margins?
I don't know. When you're looking top of the market, maybe in the pitching front, we'll see how Hyunjin Ryu is doing. I guess it was today is Thursday. Interesting. Mm-hmm. Okay. So today he's having his follow-up with Dr. Alatrash on his forearm and elbow. Nothing about that sounds good. We'll see where that goes. Yusei Kikuchi, nothing about that has been good. We'll see where that goes. And Ross Stripling has been fantastic recently, like a real valuable luxury for the Blue Jays to have, but we'll see how that goes over 2-3 months if they need that. So maybe there's a big starter that the team goes after. Maybe there's a back-end reliever or a lefty bat, something like that. But there's so much talent on this roster already. Mm-hmm. Going into the last couple of years, by no means am I saying they're good enough and it's fine, not at all, but you'll always be bidding against teams that are more at the B level trying to make it to the A level, whereas the Blue Jays, I think frankly, are an A level team right now. So it'll be crowded, you know, looking ahead to a couple of months. I think even more fringe moves like we saw last year, I'm trying to remember date wise but I think Adam Simber was late June and Trevor Richards, yeah, that trade was early July, like July 6th or 7th.
Yeah, that was, and that was it.
Yeah, those made a lot of sense. I mean, the Simber trade especially was just stupid good. But ways to fix small issues that are real issues ahead of time. Now, if you're adding another starter or if you're adding a lefty bat, you're building upon a strength, which is still fantastic. But I think the Blue Jays have shown an adeptness to jumping out ahead of the market in some of these middle or low range moves. And you know, we've seen some great high-range moves from the Blue Jays, going to Springer, Gosman, a lot of others, Barrios. Those are blockbuster moves. But before we entered this current era of Blue Jays baseball, I think this front office has always been really good at that bottom of the market, middle tier, kind of finding the Simbers and Richards for a while before whatever's happening this week, but really improving from the lower end, and that's pretty valuable.
More Spin Rate coming up right after these words from our sponsors. Caitlin, well, the one thing I would say was there was such urgency last year to make those bullpen moves that they were that they were able to hop out and really, you know, hop on and jump on those two kind of those two guys in particular to make those additions. But I don't know, Caitlin, I don't sense that there's that kind of urgency right now. Not that there isn't an opportunity and room to get better.
Yeah, two things. One, I just want to say I just checked and Adrian Hernandez will be eligible for the Rule 5 draft this winter. So it could make sense to put him on the 40 if you wanted to at the end of this year and give him a chance if the opportunity was there. And I would sort of echo a lot of what Keegan said. Like, I think that if I was like to rank like needs at the deadline, I would put some relief help pretty far at the top. And then I would sort of put in the middle, maybe a left-handed bat. And then like towards the end, or maybe like as at, like off to the side or something is would be a starting pitcher, because I guess you want to give Ross Stripling a chance. Am I saying that they are, you know, going to not explore their pitching market? Of course, they're going to explore a starting pitching market. But I mean, like Keegan said, like Ross Stripling has done really well. I think, and I will like die on this hill, I guess, this year, is that I still think you have a chance to use Nate Pearson really creatively this year. He had a good outing, I believe, on Wednesday night, two scoreless innings with Buffalo. I think he had three strikeouts and a walk. So, you know, that's a good sign from him. So I still think you have some options there where you don't need to be like necessarily like desperate on the starting pitching market, assuming nothing else happens and Ryu is just the only injury. You're not going to do something like you did last year with Jose Barrios. Like, you don't need to shop at the upper tier of that market. You can aim lower, like someone like Martin Perez right now with like the Texas Rangers. Like, he's pitching really well. I'm not sure that they would want to part with him, because they might, with the extra wildcard spots this year, a lot more teams might, that are kind of on the cusp of it, might want not want to trade away some guys. I don't know where you'd put Texas in that category. I know how you think about Texas, but I'm just saying, yeah, I'm not sure that they're going to part with him. But there's going to be some starting pitching options. Zach Greinke, I don't know, but I think he's injured right now.
Yes.
But yeah. But then on the relief market, I do think where the Blue Jays front office excels, like Keegan said, they are good at identifying guys, even guys that like aren't on the trade radar. Like, I don't think anyone was thinking about Adam Simber last year because he had a lot of team control left. And so that's something that they've done well. But I think they can also go out and target guys that, you know, are on are not expiring contracts.
That's free agents to be.
Free agents to be. I was looking up some names yesterday, actually. One name is, what's your idea?
I got one. What's your name? Cause I know you end up doing quite a bit of this kind of like content coming in the trade deadline. So who's your, the one that you are hung up on? Or?
Well, one name that has stood out to me, which would be funny. David Robertson. Is that the name you had?
No, that's not the name that I had. So
he's doing really well this year.
For the Cubes, right? He plays for. So the one thing I was going to say, the Rangers and the trade deadlines are so funny, because I was trying to think of the name of the guy that the starter that the Rangers had that had a good start to the season last year, and then they moved him at the deadline. And then I was like,
Kyle Gibson.
Yeah, Kyle Gibson. Then I was like, well, what became of him? And what's he doing right now? And I'm like, I could not tell you offhand.
He's with the Phillies.
I was going to think about. So the name that I have in my head is Andrew Benintendi. I think that Andrew Benintendi, and there was some talk about a guy like Josh Stalman, who's in the Royals bullpen, who's kind of underperforming, but his stuff is ridiculous. He needs a little bit of Bush mania kind of rubbed up along on him, and he'll be good to go. But the thing I keep coming back to when it comes to a hitter, and where I sort of agree that the Blue Jays are unlikely to make a big-ish move, is because you ever get that situation where, like, say you save a bunch of money, or you get like a gift, or you have like just have like come into like a small amount of money, and in your head you end up spending it like four different times. Like, oh, well, like we'll go for dinner tonight because I saved money on that, and oh, I'm gonna go do this because I got that money, and like you've spent it four times. I feel like that's kind of what's happening with the DH spot. Right, where it's like, okay, well, they got three catchers, so one of them can DH a little bit, and they've got all these outfielders, and then one of them can DH a little bit, and then Gotchard Springer, they got to keep him healthy, like he can DH a little bit. Like, I feel like I can't help but feel like that position is being overpromised and overcommitted to in a way that I would be. It'd be interesting to see how they could add another player like an Andrew Benintendi, a guy who is having a good season, who's kind of changed his profile a little bit, keeping the ball in the ballpark, but performing well, athletic, young, left-handed, free agent to be, you know, there's a lot to like there in terms of what he can bring to the Blue Jays, but it's like, where does he fit? And like, whose playing time does he comes at his expense? And that sort of gets back to what Keegan said, which is like, this is an A-level team. And unless you're making a significant upgrade, you're just kind of cheating yourself around the margins and moving, you know, what did you say? Like paying Peter to borrowing from Peter to pay Paul. I don't know. But like, there's just not as much opportunity to kind of fit in a good, but not great player in some ways on the Blue Jays current roster.
Also, maybe Raimel Tapia was the left-handed power hitter you needed all along. He was hiding on your roster. Apparently, he hit how far was that home run yesterday, Keegan? Like
445 feet?
Yeah.
That was strange. That was the full experience. He homered. He might have had another hit. Then he botched a couple of plays. Completely botched a couple of plays. and frankly, I mean, I don't care who wins. I go to see chaos and, you know, enjoy myself. So I loved it. But it was a real experience, the Raimel Tapia experience. I guess we'll see more of it. But when he hits the ball in the air, it's quite impressive.
I need more convincing, although hitting it into the goddamn fountains in Kansas City is going to go a long way to convincing
me. It was like the second deck of the fountain.
Because they were like, there's been so much talk, you know, the Blue Jays are working with him, trying to get him to hit it in the air, and his numbers are worse than usual. I'm like, why don't they just let him slap it around like he did? But now I see. That's why they're there, and I'm here with unwashed hair in my basement talking about the Blue Jays. So Keegan, before we let you go, I just wanted to get your sense of, you said the Blue Jays are an A-level team. Do you think that with a few additions, this is a team that is going to be there competing for the World Series come October? I put you on the spot.
I do. You know, for my own travel schedule and sanity, we'll see how that goes. But I do. I really do. You see how they have played against high-level teams. It looks like they got out all of their shitty baseball early. We'll see if there's any left later in the year. Because for a while, it just looked ugly. And it's, you know, recency bias is a funny thing. I was very certain that this looked like an underperforming team for a few weeks. And then immediately when it turned around for a few days, you see how natural it all looks when they're hitting, like they should be. So you need to fix some things. You need to patch the bullpen. I agree with Caitlin that needs to be like a real priority at this point. Probably a middle guy like a Simber. And frankly, if you're going to make a real World Series run, you might want another closer. You know, most World Series teams or real competitors have a couple of closers, two, three closers. But when you're looking ahead, their lineup stacks up against everybody. Jose Berrios will figure it out. He always has. Kevin Gausman has been one of the best pitchers on the planet. Alec Manoah is just the man at this point. I might want him to start game one if I'm the Blue Jays. But you have those three starters, which is so much different than back in 2020 when it was, I mean, Hyunjin Ryu handing off to Ross Stripling in game two of a wild card series. Like, that's not happening again. So I really do believe it's a team that can compete. You know, I stay away from World Series predictions and all of that stuff. But every year, four or five or six teams that legitimately can win. You know, that you're not hoping and pipe dreaming on. And the Blue Jays are one of those. Absolutely, I think.
Yeah, I think the Jays, like, need another guy that can just do what maybe Jordan Romano does, but in the eighth inning. And, like, Adam Simber is, like, been everything you want him to be and more. But I guess the one downside of him is if he's your eighth inning guy, he does kind of succeed by allowing contact. And, like, often it's not hard contact, but sometimes when those – you know, C&I singles get through, and often, I'm not often, but we've seen the Blue Jays, you know, shift sometimes and get beat by the shift. And so I think you need another guy, at least one other guy, and maybe two, depending on if Trevor Richards can sort of figure out what's not been working for him lately. I think you need another guy that just throws gas out of the bullpen. Because a lot of times Blue Jays play these like teams that are like so-so, but like they've got like four different relievers that throw 100. And it's like the Blue Jays don't even have, well, I mean, Jordan Romano, I think, can touch 100, but like the Jays need another guy that just like throws really hard and just can like blow past some guys and like get through an inning with like 12 pitches and three strikeouts. Like, maybe not every time, but you need a guy that's like, he's going to be able to do that. And that's a pretty big ask at the deadline. But if it's kind of their only priority, and there is usually a lot of relievers available, and like we said before, the Jays maybe could get creative with that, like, sort of lower leverage arm that they might want. And then they can kind of go in on maybe some guy that can throw really hard and help them out.
Keegan, you reminded me that not only Hyunjin Ryu handing off to Ross Stripling in 2020, it was Matt Shoemaker handing off to controversial reliever Robbie Ray out of nowhere. But I think that I agree very much that the Blue Jays are a good team, and I think that the best thing you could say about them is in line with what Keegan said, which is they've got the shitty baseball out. They've had times where they've looked lost. They've got holes in the bullpen. They could use, you know, a prototypical high octane arm. I think that a big armed goon like that in the back of the bullpen, it's only going to make the other guys kind of even that much tougher, right? Just another look to throw out there instead of being like, here's a guy that throws an underhand and here's a guy that is throwing, you know, slow, but changeups. And here's the guy that's sort of left-handed. And if you have the guy that's like, oh, and by the way, here's a guy that throws like a 90 mile an hour breaking ball, you know, you're just so far ahead of the game. But through all that, they've weathered those storms. They've tread water and they've put themselves in a position to be still considered that with, you know, and obviously not smooth and easy sailing coming in, but you know, the wind at their back. If I want to try to make a maritime reference here for Keegan, we'll do our best. Keegan, for the folks who don't know, where can they find you, the things you write and the things you say on this fine the internet?
Well, if you so choose, you can find it on MLB.com and I'm on Twitter at Keegan Matheson. That's can't recommend it, but if you're interested, that's where I am.
I think that's the strongest and most like realistic sales pitch. Like I don't know if you've ever met people in real life and they're like, oh, you've got how many followers on Twitter? I'm like, don't. You're a normal person. Like, you don't want anything to do with this.
Keeps beer, which is the only beer I still drink to this day. Those who like it a lot.
And Caitlin, what have you got for us, the people, coming up in the next days and weeks? Are you headed to Detroit oh, you're driving? I'm so excited.
Carpooling.
Less yep. excited. much less excited now.
Sorry. But yeah, I'll be in Detroit for apparently an MLB debut, which was news to me last night, but that'll be exciting. I feel like I have like some luck with, well, I don't know if you call it luck, but I seem to like plan my road trips ahead of time as you do in this job, but then like they end up being sort of significant trips to be on in terms of seeing debuts. So yeah, I'll be there and I'll be writing about it. I'm sure I'll probably write 3 stories about Gabe Brown right now because he'll be the only thing to talk about, but we'll see what else happens.
Tarek Skubal's no-hitter. You'll have to write about that too.
Oh, God. No.
I want to say thank you, Keegan, for taking the time to join us. And thank you, of course, Caitlin, for joining us here in the middle of the week. I hope that everyone listening has a great weekend, enjoys the Blue Jays playing in beautiful Detroit, where they should play more often than once a year. And I look forward to the day when they're able to do that more than once. I hope that the Blue Jays do succeed, and I don't know. Why do I hope the Blue Jays do succeed? I don't know, because that makes people excited and they listen to the podcast. There you go. All cards on the table. There's a dog barking in my house now. Her name is Caitlin. His name is Keegan. My name is Drew. We'll be back next week to learn more about Caitlin's adventures in Detroit. And we'll be back with more Ricky Romero next week, too, on Spin Right.